Romans chapter 1 and verse 11. Romans chapter 1 and verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts to the end that you may be established. Christianity is built upon giving. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. John 3:16. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but has everlasting life. Romans chapter 8 verse 32. It says, he who spared not his own son, but delivered him for us all, shall he not with him freely give us all things? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9, it says, for it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God had planned, proposed for those who love him. So, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. What things knoweth a man but the Spirit of man which is in him? So the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Then it says in verse 12, we have received not the Spirit which is of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things, 1 Corinthians 2:12, that are freely given to us of God. So Christianity is built upon giving. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. So the whole faith of Christ is built on giving. God gave. Same way he gave us his Spirit. In John 14:16, he says, I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he seeth him not. But you know him, for he dwells with you, verse 17, and shall be in you. So everything about Christianity is about God giving. It's about giving. Giving is Christianity. You can define Christianity or the Christian faith or salvation, anything that has to do with the Christian life, it's by giving. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:10 was talking about his own ministry and the ministry of the other apostles. He said, I have labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. I am what I am by the grace of God. What is grace? Grace simply means to give. It's the original word charis, C-H-A-R-I-S. It means to give freely. So Paul is saying, I am what I am because God gave me. So salvation is a gift. The Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which is also salvation, is a gift. God gave us his Spirit. And he gave us his Spirit freely. That's why when Jesus sent out the 12 in Matthew 10, he said, freely, verse 6, have you received. Freely should you give. Freely have you received. Freely do you give. So it becomes very terrible when you see a preacher. I don't love to talk down on preachers, but this has to be said. And says, well, if you want God to do something for you, do this. Come and put down money. Very irresponsible speaking. God gave you his son without you giving anything. Why would he suddenly want you to give to him? In fact, in Acts 17, Paul precisely was speaking. That should be about verse 24 and 25. He said he created the heavens and earth and everything in it. He said he doesn't need anything from you. Nothing. So to say God needs you to, someone said, before heaven can come, sorry, before it can come from heaven, earth has to release. And the only thing earth releases is money. That's not true. That's just not true. It was so strong. We'll come to that shortly. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 8, verse 14. You know, Philip had gone to Samaria to preach Christ in Acts 8, 5. And the Bible says many heard and heeded to what he preached in verse 6. So when the apostles in Jerusalem, Acts 8, 14, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John that they might come and pray for them so that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For he had fallen on none of them, yet they were only baptized in the name of the Lord. So of course, Peter and John came, and you know, they were laying hands on people. People were receiving what you call the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Then a man by the name of Simon the sorcerer, who had been saved, we know he was saved because the same chapter 8 says that he received the gospel and he followed Philip. He now saw, and this guy, of course, a sorcerer in their time is somebody who had made money. And there's some people like that, they think money can do anything. So as soon as he saw, Acts 8:17 says, as when he saw, and 18, sorry, that through the laying on of hands, of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, then he offered them money and said, give me this gift or power that whosoever I lay my hands on will receive the Holy Ghost. I always tell people that if you remove the word, he offered them money, there was nothing wrong in the request. If he just said, he asked them, give me this power, whosoever I lay my hands upon will receive the Holy Ghost, there is nothing wrong in that request. Because in 1 Corinthians 12:31, Paul says we should earnestly covet the gift of the Spirit. So there was nothing wrong in the request. There would have been nothing wrong in the request. What was wrong was that he offered them money. Peter responded and said, your money perish with you. Two things will perish, you and your money. For thou art taught that the gift of God can be purchased with money. He said, your heart is not right, and you have no part nor lot in this matter. So we don't buy, it's freely given. Freely given. So I mean freely given. Say like you mean to say freely given. Everything in the face of God is freely given. Let's even look at it in another way. Before we even talk about salvation, is there anybody here that paid for the life you have today? No. You didn't even know when you were born. When you were born, did you say to your mom, thank you? You are not even aware. So the very life we live is a gift. Our very existence is a gift. We didn't work for it. We didn't pay for it. So the salvation of our lives is also free. And what comes with it? The gift of the Spirit, the giving of the Spirit is also free. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. He said, for you know that you were Gentiles, you know, and talk about that, their worship of idols. You were carried away with, or led about with these dumb idols when we were led. He said, for by the Holy Ghost, call Jesus a curse. Verse 3. And no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Verse 4, 1 Corinthians 12. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5. There are differences of administrations. That's the word ministries, but the same Lord. Verse 6. He says, but there are diversities of operations, 1 Corinthians 12. It is the same God which worketh all in all. Now look at that verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given To who? Huh? For the sake of some people, just put one man and woman, so there won't be a problem. Every man and every woman. Given to every man to profit with all. So, there is nowhere you will get to. It is given. When it comes to the what the people call the men of God, call them ministry gifts today. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, he says, he that ascended, the same one descended and ascended, and he led captivity captive, and then he says, he gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to men. Verse 11 says, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. He gave. So, even the men and women of God are a blessing to us. He gave. He gave. Of course, we can explain that further as gift in his body. But he gave. So if it is healing, it's freely given. If it's salvation, it's freely given. If it's the gifts of the Holy Ghost, freely given. If it's the baptism with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. In Acts 1:4, he says, you have heard of the promise of my Father. Not many days hence shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Verse 5, John really baptized with water, but not many days hence shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost is come on you. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. In Acts 2, verse 1, so 4, he says, now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, verse 2, and it filled all the house where they were seated. Verse 3 says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. When Peter was going to explain it, in Acts 2:17, he says, they said, God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Upon all flesh. So what happened there was free. In verse 33, he says, Jesus, being by the right hand of God exalted, has shed forth this which you now see and hear. So it's gift, is a free gift. In verse 38, he says, that gift is not just for you, but to your children and those who are far off. Say, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you will receive the gift. You will receive the, it's called a gift. In the entire, so when you have people filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in other tongues, it's a gift. I remember years ago, I went to preach somewhere in Zimbabwe. That was about 25 years ago. And I got to that particular church about October or so. We're in October. So I'm marking the anniversary. So we went there. And when I got to the church, it was a morning and evening session. So in the morning session, as I was preaching, I knew something was off in the congregation. You know, you will know it, Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin will say, you're throwing something, it's bouncing back. There was a coldness in the atmosphere. I will explain scripture. It's not that they were not excited. It's not about excitement. You just know the atmosphere was somehow. So I was wondering what it was. So at the end of the service, the bishop of the church, the pastor, he now called the elders, and they now came on the platform. They now began to speak in tongues, and they were speaking in tongues. But I noticed that they were the only ones speaking in tongues. The other audience were just saying, amen, amen. I've never seen that before. So after the service, I went to the reverend minister. I said, sir, what do you believe about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues? He said, our people need to go through baptism. After water baptism, they go through sanctification class. When he was done, he will have acquired PhD before you speak in tongues. So I saw him. So I said, that is very great. He didn't know what I said was great. What I meant was your unbelief is very great. So I was speaking in the evening that day. So in the evening as I was speaking, I came in and I began to speak about the same things. The baptism with the Holy Ghost. And I went through the book of Acts. Acts 2, it's free. Acts 8, it is free. Acts 9, when they laid hands on Paul, Saul of Tarsus, 16 and 17, it is free. Acts chapter 10, in the house of Cornelius, as Peter yet spake, in verse 44, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. It is free. Acts 19 and verse 6, Paul laid hands on them in Ephesus. It's free. So when I was done, I said in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They will speak in tongues. If you believe, you will speak with tongues. I showed them over and over again. As I was speaking, I saw behind me, I knew the pastor and his associate were angry. You could be feeling their own heat too. Now what is this man saying here? I said, nobody needed water baptism to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Nobody needed days to be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues. And I said, so if you are here and you want to speak in other tongues and be filled with the Holy Ghost, come out. And they rushed out in their number. I could feel the heat behind me. That what is this man doing here? And they probably thought that because the number was much, I was going to ask them to join me. I came with a friend of mine, Reverend Matthew. So we were there together. They thought I was going to call someone. I think, how would I call them? So that they come and be speaking in tongues and we would say amen. So as people began to speak with tongues, and you know, the story about it is that as I was speaking, you could see that a light bulb just came off. It is the same scripture that they were reading, that they thought it was for another time that I read to them. I said, even if you are going to wait, you should not wait beyond 7 days. That's the number of days even the apostles waited. If you are going to wait, and if you are going to wait, you go to Jerusalem. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem. So if you are in Harare, you are in the wrong place. Get a visa, go to Jerusalem and go and wait. So they could see. So their eyes popped open. Everybody was looking and they were excited. So I said, if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, come forward. And they came out in their hundreds. I began to lay hands. You could see that the tongues had been there for years. It came out with anger. You know, some of them came out with capital letter. As the tongues came out, some of them now went towards the bishop and his people, and they were speaking in tongues like this. I knew that was my last day there. Because I've set the people free. Hallelujah. It's a free gift. Hallelujah. It's a free gift. Salvation is free. The gift of the Spirit is free. So when we come into Christ, let me tell you something else that's free. Salvation is free. Everything that comes with it is free. So when I'm born again, what is the next important thing for me? The most important thing for me. Paul said the most important thing is going to heaven. Why have you not gone? No, the most important thing in salvation is to be in a church among believers. To be among believers. In Acts chapter 2, turn there quickly. Verse 41. 3,000 men heard the word, about 3,000. And they gladly heard the word. The Bible says they were baptized. Now listen to this. It says in verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, prayers, and fellowship. They continued. It was from that point they were now called the church. So the thing is, when a man is born again and receives eternal life and Jesus as his Lord and Savior, the next important thing is to fellowship with fellow believers. Look at that word fellowship, Acts 2:42. That word fellowship means where we share common things. So salvation, God shares and gives himself to us. Afterwards, we the brethren must also share with others. Fellowship. So when you are born again, you come into fellowship with God. And after that war, that fact, you now come into fellowship with people like you. When Saul of Tarsus also got born again in Acts 9, he went to join the saints. That is what you do. Why? Because that fellowship is also free. It's also free. In that fellowship, we receive freely. It's free. That fellowship is also free. That fellowship has no tribe, has no tongue. I remember in 2005, I went to speak in Guinea-Conakry, in West Africa. So I went for a business trip. Sorry, that's it. So, I went with a team. We're going to do something with the nation, country. So I went in my capacity as a lawyer. So when we went there, of course, I just asked, and we asked with the government. I asked the leader of my team to let me speak with somebody in the government. And if you know Guinea very well, it's a typically Muslim country. And they speak French, and they still speak French. So I said, can I find a church to fellowship? Then the man said to me, there's a church, but it's not in this area. Naturally we were in a very exquisite GRA, government reserve area. So he said, there's no church here. But where I will find church is in the slums. So they felt I'll be discouraged. That how would I leave? I think we're staying at, what's this hotel again? That is a French speaking hotel. That's in Lagos. What's the name? Protea. Protea is very recent. No. I remember. I said, how would you leave this place? And go to, so I said, I'll go there. He looked at me. He said, Apoka, are you serious? I said, yes. I'll go there. So they took me very far. The guy was, he kept asking me, are you sure you still want to go? I said, yes. By the time we got there, of course it was in a slum and all that. And most of them were French speaking. And interestingly, they even wore white garments. Some wore white garments, some wore blue garments, some wore suits just like you. We're all wearing something. So the man still asked me, are you going to stay? I said, yes. So I joined them and I fellowshiped and they had somebody who could interpret. Eventually they asked me to speak that Sunday. You know why it was easy for me? Because they are my brethren. You don't have to speak the same language. Sometimes we don't even have to believe the same things all through. But there's a free fellowship of God that is available in Christ Jesus. No matter what tribe you are from, no matter what class you are from, whether you are educated or illiterate, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are one. Hallelujah. I said we are one. So we have an obligation to give ourselves to one another. We have an obligation to give ourselves to one another. We have an obligation to give ourselves to one another. So look at this very well. Paul in Romans 1, get back there, verse 11, says, I long to see you. I long to see you. That I might impart to you some spiritual gift. That I might impart to you, Romans 12:11, some spiritual gift. We said to impart means to share, right? To share. That I will share with you some spiritual gift. The first time we see that word is in Luke 3:11. Jesus said, if you have two coats and someone doesn't have, impart unto him. It means take that coat and put it on him. That is Christian living. We share. We share. To impart means to share. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 8, Paul says, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. That's in the church. We share with simplicity. We share. To share means to make what I have available for you. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, Paul says, let him that stole, let him steal no more. Ephesians 4:28. Let him work with his own hands, that which is honest and good, so that he may have to give to him that is in need. That word give there, it also means to impart. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9, Paul says, we have imparted to you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives. So, we are called to share. What did I say? We are called to share. When you are born again, your prayer life is not about you. It's majorly about praying for others. We are called to share. And I shared with us the other day that when God made man, so that you will know you will always need people, we said, does God have the capacity to just make one kind of man who will have every resource to birth a child? Does he have that capacity? He does. He can do it. He can make just one single person to have children. And that same person will just think and say, I want twins. I want twins. Twins will just show up. Or, rather than do that, when you pray for children, you want to have a child, just go and go, maybe just, God just say, go and open your balcony. Can you see a child? That is your gift there. So we'll just be opening our door and be seeing children every time we're praying. But he doesn't do that. He makes sure that human beings are part of it. God, who is almighty, who can do without you, has chosen to walk with you. He can do without you. So when I see people who are born again say, I don't want to go to church, I doubt whether they are born again. Because God, who can afford to do without you? I told you the man of God who came on television one time and he said, you know, see our ministry has gone so big. He said, what can God do without us? Kenneth Hagin said, I watched him on TV and he was coming down. After 3 years, the church was gone. And Brother Hagin said, God has been fine since then. He can do without you. But you know that he can do without you, yet he walks with us. He walks with us. You know, God can at one time just create everybody in the world and just go, bam, 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 1, 2, 3, go. Appear! Pop! Everybody will just appear. Someone say, I would like to appear in America. But why does he ensure that we are part of the process? That we are part of what he wants to do? He can do without us. Yet he does not do without us. He walks with us. He walks with us. He said, let us make man in our image. Genesis 1:26, after our likeness. Then he said, let them have dominion. So the dominion, was it giving? Was it giving? In verse 28, it says, he blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, have dominion, subdue it. Freely. So God, who created us, walks with us. He doesn't need us, yet he put himself in a position to walk with us. That's God. And I said again, he could have made it just one single person. So there will be no need of father and mother. Or male and female. Just one single person will be having children. But he put the egg in someone. He put the sperm in another one. Why? Because he wants us to need one another. He wants us to need one another. He created us that way. That we would need one another. I remember I said to us to be wary of technology. Technology is driving us into isolation. You don't have to see people. Just chat with them. You don't have to be in contact with them. Just watch them on TV. That is very dangerous. God made us to want one another. To relate with one another. And that's the reason why we have church. You cannot grow as a child of God. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. How do you grow? You will have to grow in the company of believers. You will need people to grow. The same way a child does not just grow by itself. It needs parents. It needs siblings sometimes. He needs people around. Even as a mother, you can't raise your child alone. People will come into the picture. Even as a father, as siblings, that is how we are. God makes us to want, to need one another. Therefore, as a believer, As one who has believed the gospel. Anybody like that this morning? You believe the gospel? Raise your hand. Let me see. If you have believed the gospel, you must believe in the church. You must believe in what? In what? The church. You must believe in the church. You can't say, I believe in Jesus, but I don't do church. Like saying, I'm a fish, but I don't do water. You know, that's confusion. You can't believe in Jesus and not believe in the church. Because God has made it that you will be incomplete without the church. Remember when Jesus appeared to Paul, in Acts of the Apostles chapter 9, and Paul saw the light and he went down and he was wondering, he said, who is it? He said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. Jesus is saying, if you are touching the church, you are touching me. You can't believe in Jesus and not believe in the church. In the church. I've seen people sometimes, they go and do evangelism. Somebody gets born again and they'll now be going to the person's house to preach. I said, no, it's important to go and preach to the person, but it's very vital. Take the person to the church. Take the person to the church. Because the body of Christ is bigger than you. The church of God is bigger than you. So we need one another. Say with me, we need one another. Say again, we need one another. So going to church is not an extracurricular activity. No extracurricular activity. You know, like yesterday evening, the dubious penalty and the cheeky goal. But God is a faithful God. He's a God of justice. You don't know what I'm saying. Just keep looking at Jesus. Do you know, extracurricular activity. You know, it's something you can do away with. You can decide not to, you know, it's an extracurricular activity. What do you do apart from, you know, when you want to apply for a job, the now interview say, what are your hobbies? And you say, thinking. Eh? You say, what is your skill? I like to play. What else? I like to sleep. That's your skill. What about your hobby, extracurricular? Thinking. Once in a while, I get to think. Say bye-bye to the job. Extracurricular is what you can afford not to do. It's not on your list of priority. Church is not extracurricular activity. Church is who we are. Church is a part of our lives. Because, like I said, God has made you to need other believers. He has put in others what you need. He has put in others what you need. How many of us want to grow spiritually? Let me see your hand. You want to know the Lord more? Raise your hand. Let me keep it. Come on. You want the Lord to bless you more. It is dependent on others, not you. God has put in others what you need. You must be in fellowship with them to receive it. You must be in fellowship with them to receive it. You must be in fellowship with them. And that's what Paul meant by to impart to you. Some spiritual gifts to share with you. So church meetings are for impartation, where we receive from one another. Now, just to briefly, one of the ways we receive is by laying on of hands. What did I say? Laying on of hands. Laying on of hands is a way to impart to others. Look at that Acts of the Apostles chapter 8. The apostles came down, verse 15, to Samaria that they might lay hands so that the people in Samaria might receive of the Holy Ghost. They might lay hands, which means laying on of hands is how God gives us things of the Spirit. He gives them to us. In Acts 9, look at this one. This is very interesting. Jesus was the one who talked to Paul. And Paul went to his house to pray for 3 days. Yet Jesus looked for a man, Ananias, and spoke to Ananias in verse 11 and 12, and told Ananias to go to the house of Saul, so he would lay hands on him. How come Jesus did not do it himself? It means God uses men. Ananias now went to the house. In verse 16 and 17, and says, "Well, I've come, just appeared to me," and he laid hands on Saul so that the scales came off and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. It was an angel that appeared to Cornelius in Acts 10. The angel said, "Go and send for Peter." How come God didn't use angels? He said, "Go and send for Peter." Peter now came. Peter now preached. It was through Peter again that the Holy Ghost fell on them in Acts 10:44. In Acts 19, again, in verse 1 and 2, Paul was found in Ephesus. He met some disciples. After speaking with them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost? You should believe." He said, "We have not heard. We have not heard the Holy Ghost." He said, "Unto one was he baptized? Were you baptized?" He said, "Unto John's baptism." "John verily baptized, preached the word and said to the people," verse 4, "you should believe on Jesus whom will come after." And when they heard this, verse 5, said they were baptized in the name of the Lord. Verse 6 says, and then he laid hands on them and the Holy Ghost came on them. You can't miss it. That God uses men to impact our lives. Even Paul, Saul of Tarsus, in Acts 13, he says there were in Antioch certain prophets and teachers. One of them was Barnabas, then Paul. Then he says in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, he says, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul." Look at that. The Holy Ghost said to people, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul." That means the Holy Ghost was working with them. How come the Holy Ghost did not say, I have called Barnabas and Paul? He said, "You separate them." God uses men. "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work have called them." The Bible says that after they had prayed and fasted, they laid hands on them and sent them away. Verse 4 now says, being sent away by the Holy Ghost. So, the laying on of hands is the Holy Ghost working. In Mark 16, he says, you will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Laying on of hands imparts the things of God to us. How many of us spoke in tongues after people laid hands on us? Let me see your hand. How many of us, when you spoke in tongues, how many of us speak in tongues? Let me see your hand first. Let's start with that one. Let me see your hand. How many of you spoke in tongues because hands were laid on you? I am one of such. Praise the Lord. Or somebody ministered to you. Let me see your hand. Listen, that is how God works. That's how He works. He works through men. This is why we need the fellowship of believers. The fellowship of believers. Even when it comes to the work of the ministry. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 14. Paul told Timothy. He said, neglect not the gifts which is in you by prophecy. It was given to you by prophecy and the laying on of hands. Given to you by prophecy. He didn't say God gave you. We know God gave, but it says it was by men. It was by men. So I say, if God will do it, He needs no man. That is the book of Genesis chapter 90, verse 90. If God is going to use it, God doesn't. Someone told me, said, so that God will take the glory, He will make sure man is not involved. If man is not involved, God is not involved. Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What's earthen vessels? Some versions say vessels of clay. God put His treasure in weak vessels. So if you pay attention to the weakness, you won't get anything. He says here, we have this treasure, 2 Corinthians 4:7, in earthen vessels. That is, you, just like you. James said that Elijah was a man of like passions. James 5:16. He was a man like you. That means it's possible for Elijah to be a Chelsea fan. It's even very likely. A man of like passions. So if you go and dislike Elijah because he's a Chelsea fan, that's talking to me now. You will not receive anything. So, he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So if you go and pay attention to earthen vessels, I say, this is just a man, it's just a man like me. You know, that happened to the disciples too. When they first saw Jesus, and anything they told them, they would do quickly. Pop, 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 pop. When they saw miracles, quick, 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 quick. When Peter saw fish, he said, depart from me, depart from me, depart from me. I'm a sinner. Jesus said, come. You no longer catch men but fish. Later on, after he had seen Jesus very well, Jesus must have pulled, you saw it. Jesus must have slept, maybe snored at some point. This is my, there was even the day he was sleeping. Even the storm did not wake him up. So he was hungry. He was thirsty. So he felt, how is he different from me? So one day when Jesus said that, I'll go to Jerusalem and I'll be killed, Matthew 16 and 20, Peter said, stop that nonsense. Don't say that again. He said, Jesus, I bind you in Jesus' name. How did somebody who said, depart from me, I'm a sinner, now rebuke the same person? He has started seeing him as a normal human. What about Judas? Why did Judas do what he did? You know, Jesus has sent them out to go and preach. He gave them power. Luke 9:1 over unclean spirits. So when they also went out, and then they were saying Jesus' name, and the demons went, and people got healed. And they said, in Jesus' name, it's happening. So after a while, people go and say, Pastor Judas, you are such a blessing. Pastor Peter, he won't say it's Jesus. He said, that's how it is. He won't mention Jesus. That's how it is. We thank God for everything. We thank God for everything. So one day, a woman now took an alabaster box, very expensive, and broke it at the feet of Jesus, poured it on his feet or his head. And Judas now felt, shouldn't this be given to the poor? The problem he had was he wanted it. It was not because he loved the poor. Suddenly he started thinking he and Jesus should be sharing seats. He told the others too. Jesus now said, leave her alone. She has wrought a good work. It was immediately after that scene that Judas went to meet the Pharisees to betray Jesus. It was from that point Satan entered into his heart. In the name of Jesus, you will not fall into bitterness. Bitterness is very bad. You just become bitter. Bitterness is the work of the devil. Anger is the work of the devil. Jealousy is the work of the devil. Don't be jealous and speak in tongues. Please interpret the tongues and repent. Don't be jealousy. You start feeling, is it only Pastor Ken? Is it only Brother John? Is it only, and you start feeling, what is special about him anyway? What's the big deal? That was what Miriam and Aaron said. So what's the big deal about Moses? They saw Moses part the sea, but now, you two, they have become priests. You two, Aaron was now in the priest's office. He too is now saying, God bless you, God keep you, So what does he do that we cannot do? God has given him visions to say, what is he seeing that we cannot see? In the name of Jesus, you will not be an instrument of division in your church. Watch the things you see. Sometimes there was one brother like that in Nigeria. He was telling me about his pastor. The man was the general overseer of a major ministry in Nigeria. So he was telling me about his pastor. He said he was in the pastor's protocol. The pastor's protocol can be very close to the pastor, and he worked with the man. So he told me that it was my office. He used to work for my company. So he said, that man, I used to be in his protocol. No, he said, I am in his protocol. No, he was in his protocol then. So he said, I'm in his protocol. He said, that man, he's this, he's that, he's that. He started saying very unconventional things. I was in the office, so I was just listening. My partner was there. And he said all that. After it was now done, he said, I remember, listen very well, after he had spoken bad of the man. And I said, and I remember, in those days, there was a mighty move of God through that man. That the miracles were just flowing, but they are not flowing again. I said, do you know why? He said, I wonder why. I said, it's because of people like you. How would it flow? Now, everything you have told me now, how do you want the man to bless me? You have told me enough information not to be blessed. You think, see, gossip is powerful. Be sure you are talking to the right person. Gossip is very powerful. Do you know that there are some men of God that if you don't read things about them in the news, you don't say anything wrong in there until you read something and you hear something. And also for brethren in the church, we must not be found gossiping. And it's not that I want to gossip. I've already given it in the beginning. It's not that I want to gossip, but I just have to share my heart with you. You know, I don't want to hold this thing. It's not good to hold it. Who can I talk to? You are a gossip. It's not like I'm hurt. I just feel I should share it with you. Do you know in June, Brother James and Sister So-so, you are working for the devil. The Bible says if your brother offends you, you go to him alone. Jesus said alone. He knows you can go with people. Alone. Gossip, division, bitterness. That's why we have to be careful of the kind of conversations. Sin happened by conversation. You should know where a conversation is going. I remember sometime in 1994, we had just finished church. We attended the Christ Embassy Church then, in the morning. I was pastoring the church that met in the evening. So I used to go in the mornings to the Christ Embassy Church. So the pastor of Christ Embassy then, he rebuked somebody in the assembly. It was open rebuke. We were all there. That service was fire. Everybody just went home in gentleness. It's not every service that you are laughing. Sometimes you just go, your eyes just go like this, you are going in the spirit of God. So we went home. So my friend, he's still my friend somehow, he now came to see me before our own meeting. He now said, my friend, what do you say about that service? Why did the pastor do? I said, why are you asking me? Am I the supervisor of the pastor? He said, no, I'm just saying, I can't really talk. I said, oh boy, take the curse you came with and leave my house. I want to go far. It's not my business. It's not my business. Take it away. What's my business? Watch conversations. There was a time again, I think it was 2012, was about a preacher whose marriage was having problems. So somebody called me and another person. No, somebody that I know called me, I called another person and said, I want to tell you something. He said, okay. So the guy said, well, I know this pastor. Right now they are having challenges in their marriage. It was not even in the press. So I said, oh, good. I mean, maybe you are saying this to us to pray. The man said, well, let me give you the information. I said, don't give me the information. If you give me the information, do I have access to the man? No. The only thing I can do with that information is to tell somebody else. I said, so please cut me off this call. Let us, if you are going to say this thing to someone, say it to someone that can intervene, not me. The man does not even know my name. He said, okay, thank you. And I just went off the call. Because if you hear something that is not your business, you share it with someone. It's evangelism. And you start ruining people's reputation. People that God has put His Spirit upon their lives, you ruin their reputation. I remember there was a time in 1998, I was pastoring for a church. Now, it wasn't the church I founded, but somehow I had to pastor for the church. So there was this lady who had this report, this problem. I mean, it was an immoral issue. And the leaders of the church now told me, they had discussed it amongst themselves. The person's fellowship leader told another fellowship leader, Abba! Another fellowship leader, so they all knew it in one accord. They now came to me. They said, hey, well, we also tell you that this sister and this. I said, okay, I've heard. Ah. They said, I will say, eh? Ah! And I said, I've heard. When you hear this, they say, ah!
majority of it have you not seen in the Bible? Close your mouth before a big whale enters it. You know, it's Noah that entered the whale. You is the whale that will enter your mouth. So as soon as I said, you know what I did? The next Sunday, I just called the sister to come out. Something I never did before and after. They come and share God's word. They looked at me like I was mad. Somebody there, they said so, so, and so. She got up and preached. And people were blessed because they did not know. Hallelujah. I rebuked her afterwards. I corrected her afterwards. But I wanted to tell her that God's hand is still upon your life. Hallelujah. You cannot disqualify people with your words. It is God who chooses. Is that very clear? So let's learn. There are some things it is not your business. And some of us as pastors, we think we can discuss anything. No, we should not discuss anything. Some things is just not your business. When we walk in love and honor like that, we allow more impartations. Hallelujah. More impartations. More. You know, Paul got to a point in Asia. The churches he founded, they had left him. Why? Because he was having too many problems. And there were too many gossips. Ah, did you hear that they arrested Paul again? Again? Ah. Well, what kind of gospel is this? They're always arresting him. Me, I'm tired, oh. All Asia left. Working for the devil. And we know that the move of God is getting stronger in our churches. As we walk in love towards one another. As we honor one another. Doesn't mean that we should overlook people when they do wrong. But there's a way to correct in love. Talking to somebody else about a fellow believer's sin is not working in love. You don't want to help the person. You don't. Even there are some things that you will know, you just pray about it. You just pray. When I was a younger minister, I would just go and meet people and talk to them. Even if I have a vision, now, I'll just pray. So now I'll just fast. If I need to say something, I'll say it in a way that will build the person. Learn to know that we need one another. We need one another. Do you hear what I'm saying? We need one another. The new convert needs the church. The old convert, if you are like that, you know, I tell you, some people, their spirit man has walking stick. You also need people. Hallelujah. The pastor needs people. Is there any pastor here that does not need members? You don't need members. I don't care. If nobody comes to this church, I'll serve God. How? How? If you all go, I will still be here doing what? Doesn't matter. You did not call me to the ministry. God called me to the ministry. Whether you come or you don't come, I'll be here doing what? So you rather be on this movie than talking to yourself. The word of God. The word of God. Don't you need a psychiatric word? You need people. That's why Jesus despised all these Peter, Thomas. Did he not go back to meet them? They denied him. Did he say, you guys are betrayers. You guys are terrible people. He went back, corrected them, rebuked them, but he still went to them. You need people. You need people. You need people. You need people. If you're a pastor, you need people. If you're a new convert, you need a pastor. If you're a worker, you need other workers. Because they are impartations of the Spirit of God that only happen when other people come to us or when we go to them. We need one another. So, ensure that you don't absent yourself from the fellowship of believers. Ensure that you are in church. Ensure that you love to go to church. Be among believers where we share and we receive. Where we share and we receive. We don't just share spiritual things. We also share natural things. We don't just share spiritual things. We share natural things. That's why in the early church, in the book of Acts, they were meeting in people's homes. Let me tell you the significance of that. In the Jewish nation, listen carefully. The home is only for your family. It's like the temple. It's a significant place for your family. So for you to welcome people into that home to have fellowship, you are calling them what? You are calling them what? So the church should be what? I told someone one day, he was talking about, you know, he's a pastor in another church, but we work together, and he's quite older than I am, so we were talking, so he was talking to me about how they discipline somebody in their church who got pregnant before she got married. Now, I am in no way saying that it's right. It can't be right. So he said, they put her in the middle of the church, and I asked him a question. I said, what exactly is the sin she committed? He said, what do I mean? I said, what is the sin she committed that you made it? Now he said, what do I mean? I said, well, she committed fornication. I agree. I said, what else do you think she sinned? He said, the sister was pregnant. They didn't even know. I said, the sin she committed was as she told you. If you did not know, say, I get your point, Shegun, I get your point. I said, let me ask another question. Would you have done that to your own daughter? You went quiet on the phone. You wouldn't have done that. It doesn't mean you will not rebuke your daughter. But how do you want the person to feel? The person came to you, want to get married, but this has happened. You say, yeah, put it on the screen. Put it on the screen. If God does that for every one of us, all the screens will have blown in this world. Bah, go, bah, go. Great, great, go, bah, go. All the screens will just go on bomb. Go, go, go. Hallelujah. So say, Sheikh, what can we do? I said, you can rebuke them, handle it in an edifying way, but exposing them. They were not proud of it. The person Paul told them to rebuke openly. The guy was not, he had no shame about it. We're not told to expose. They were not proud about it. That's why they told you. They now told you to become newscaster. You say, 10 o'clock news. Brother, so so and so, and sister, so so and so. Oga, you are working for the devil. Oga means boss. You are working for the devil. Does it mean we should cover people's sins and not help them together? No, they are two different things. I can help you out of your sin without exposing you. Just ensure you are feeding on the word of God. You are walking in the spirit. Alright? You are in the fellowship with the saints. And we are praying about it together. Not, don't worry. That's what you said. We'll be praying about it. When the person listens. I learned that when I was younger. One of my cousins just got saved. That's how he came to my dad. Uncle, I want to confess something to you. My father was not a Christian though. At least not the born again one. He said, you know, that engine of your 504 you were looking for, I took it. He said, all the wires you were looking for, I sold it. My father said, hey, so I said, because now I'm not a Christian, I can't tell you. My father said, very good. It's good for a man to know God. Yes. So as soon as he left, my father called everybody in the house. The next time that boy comes to this house. So I knew that the person that does not remember sins is God, not us. Till today, we just say Corinthian fornicator. And so the person is still fornicating. That's how we are. Say, that brother now, no, that brother that. Oh, I know the brother. Can't you say that brother, you know? That born again brother. Why is it that one that you remembered? Why did you say that brother that used to pray? Why that brother that did? Why did you say that brother that used to hold the they used to hold Bible stories? Say, that brother now, that, know that issue now, the issue. Brethren. The brethren. But we love one another, right? We love one another. And the Spirit of God is flowing freely in our midst. Because we love one another. We pray for one another. I'll close and share this story. There was a man I met, this will be 2016, and it's gone to me the Lord now. And the man said to me that they had a ministry team. They were together for, I think, 55 or 60 years, 50 of them. And by the grace of God, they stayed alive. None of them left that team. So I said, how are you able to do it? And they stayed like that.
together. He said, number one. He said, we never try to interfere. We don't get curious. We don't get into people's our affairs. He said, number two. We used to pray for one another regularly. And number three. It was the same position we held 55 years ago that we still have now. So nobody was trying to be better than the other person. Our leader is still our leader now. He's number two. He's still number two. The person who used to lead songs, he's the person leading songs. No one said, oh, I'm leading songs now. One day. One day now. My breakthrough is coming. Then we remain like that. And we can have churches like that. Ministries like that. We're not competing. You don't want to outdo the other person. Pastor Ken is preaching and he says that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Pastor Blaise says, ah, what can I say? That'll be better. Jesus Christ is Savior. Then Pastor Chibo says, beat me to those four two things. Let me say my own. Jesus Christ is Jesus. So I said, Pastor Chibo! When things like that happen, God in our midst. God is moving in our nations. He's moving in our churches. And the Spirit of God is flowing in our churches. See, when we do this, there will be more miracles in our midst. There will be more moves of God, more blessedness in our midst. When we lay aside all those things, Hebrews 12 says, the sin that doth so easily beset. Let us lay aside those things. I tell them in church, see, when we are together, there's nothing we can't do. But when we are not together, there's nothing we can do. We are stronger together. We are better together. We are stronger together. We is better than me. Us is stronger than I. That's how I should think. That's why I should go to church. That's why I should serve in the house of God. That is why I should be available for other people. It's selfish people that don't go to church. It's selfish people that don't go to church. It's proud people that don't go to church. You think, well, you don't need anybody. You are proud. You think, well, people need to come to you, you know, to come and meet your needs. Yes, you're selfish. But you see, what does church do for us? It takes away our selfishness. What does it do? It takes away our pride. It's just like pastors. Some pastors, they don't know how to get healed. When you say, if you are sick in the body, come. They won't come out because they'll be, I'm a man of God. And they will have the sickness there. Because they know how to give, but they are too proud to want to take. The church takes away selfishness. Why do you think Paul, he's the one that will write the letter. He's the one teaching them how to pray. He's the one telling them, I thank my God, I pray in tongues more than you all. Yet every letter, pray for us. The same person who taught them how to pray, pray for us. Pray for us. And look at it, he said, pray for me that I may be bold. Pray for me that I may have utterance. Pray for me that I may be delivered from a reason why we can't. Pray for me that I should even get to you. That means my prayer is not enough. People pray for me. I'm here today because people pray for me. I'm here today because people are still praying for me. We need one another. We will always need one another. You need the church of God to fulfill the will of God in the earth. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. 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 Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Let's just worship God and thank Him. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the body of Christ. Thank God for the pastors. Thank God.